Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on Free FM. That's where I am. CBS. 866-570-PEN is the phone number. 7366. Penn Radio. That's Penn with two N's at gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Sitting here, of course, with Michael Goudeau.
Yes, sir.
On a beautiful, beautiful, what day of the week is it, do you know? Thursday. Beautiful Thursday here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're going to have to stop talking about Steve-O long enough to get to the topic.
We have a topic, but it is so much less interesting than Steve-O.
I just saw a clip of Steve-O, a hunk from that they wouldn't allow in Jackass 2, that he does live at a metal school show. You know metal school?
No.
They're a band that they used to play the Viper Room in L.A. And they just, they do, you know, Eddie Van Halen stuff, 80s hair band stuff, with a certain kind of wink. Because that's the kind of thing that needs satirizing. In this world today, people take hairband from the 80s much too seriously. And Steve-O got on stage and did the bit that they wouldn't allow him to do in Jackass number 2 because he would have gotten beyond their R rating. And that is he takes off all his clothes, which is not hard to get Steve-O to do. And then he swings back and forth so that all his package slides in between his legs, and then he slams his legs shut around his package. And that's all cool, but then he does a backflip, a complete standing backflip. And the amount of pressure when his feet hit is just astonishing. And it's just Steve-O, and I think that the Jackass boys are America at its best. There's a pure, dumb jubilance that I just adore about that. But the topic we want to do today, and Steve-O went to clown college,
so
as
yes,
did both
alumni
of your hosts. Both of the hosts here. Michael Goudeau, class of what?
79
at clown college, and I was class of
74, 75, right?
73, or something like that, one of those. I was sometime like that. I must have been 74, clown college, and Steve-O did too. So that's the kind of people that educational institution turns out. And that's what we're talking about. See, that's a segue. That was like real radio. All I need is some alliteration, it'll be real radio. Teaching tutors, no, I don't know. There's this article that's on Reuters by Jason Szep, S-Z-E-P, Szep?
Szep.
Szep, good name. This is out of Boston. Private tutors are a luxury many American families cannot afford, costing anywhere between $25 and $100 an hour. But California mother Denise Robinson found one online for $250 an hour in India. So what they're doing is they're doing outsourcing. And they have got these people, they said most of them with master's degrees that are in India and will tutor your children for about $250 an hour. It says, $100 a month, unlimited hours.
$100
a month, unlimited hours. So this student they're talking about took 2 hour sessions each day, 5 days a week in math and English, that it comes out to about $250 an hour, as opposed to what it would cost, $40 an hour in her home. And she's now, of course, this is anecdotal. So this means nothing. This is anecdotal information. It means nothing whatsoever. But her grades are all now, she's the top in every class she has. And it took her a little while to get used to the accent of the person, because they do this all with a whiteboard in front of them and voice over the internet.
Sure.
So the teacher's talking to you.
iChat.
Yeah, it's essentially iChat. So if you're not seeing the person's face, you're seeing a whiteboard where you can do work.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's like a blackboard and a voice. And completely one-on-one. And they've been trained. These people on the e-tutoring have been trained to do for American slang, which I don't know why you need that much American slang to I guess when they write back, LOL.
I think they know Steve-O.
And then we can cross off the X's in both sides, and those are even. And then we can take the reciprocal and LOL. That's they have to know the slang. Also, you have to get used a little bit used to the accents, which, of course, for me, would be useless. If someone has a slightly different accent from me, I can't understand a word they say. But as two people who went to clown college, along with Steve-O, and two people who finished high school on...
Early.
What a nice way
to put
it. Ahead of schedule. We were ahead of schedule on our getting out of high school. Both of us.
Both of us were.
And did you finish college? You didn't finish college.
I didn't finish college. No, I started juggling. I had a plan, though.
You had a plan?
I was going to be a forest ranger.
Okay, you're going to be a forest juggling, the juggling forest ranger?
I made the plan before I started juggling.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you weren't going to go to college to be a forest ranger?
Yes, I was. I got out of high school a year early and went straight to college to be a forest ranger.
And then what stopped that? What derailed that?
Money.
Money?
Juggling. You know how financially successful.
So, yeah, well, you've made money in juggling.
You're
one of the only people in the world. One of the other only people is in this room. but we've made money juggling.
It's an elite corps.
Yes, a very elite corps. Well, no, there's also the passing zone, and there's Scotty. So there's five.
That's right.
There's five people.
So when Jason wants to have these big juggling competitions, I say, let's bring our W-2s from last year. That's always my solution for, we're going to have a juggling competition. I said, great, I'll show up the last year's tax return. You do the same. We'll see who's the better juggler.
So there's these Indian e-tutors, and my question, I guess the question I'm putting before the people out there in Radio Land is, why do we need schools? Public schools are so goddamned expensive. Public schools are so miserable. You know, when I went to public school, it was just an excuse for kids to ridicule me and hit me, and I hated every second of it. And I learned, I think I can say categorically right across the board, that I learned nothing in public school. And then, of course, I didn't go to college, so I think we can leave this with I learned nothing. But a tutor, 2 or 3 hours a day, an Indian tutor on
for $8
on the web for $8
$8 a day.
I think I would have learned everything I wanted to learn. As a matter of fact, I wonder if you can do these tutors when you're not in school. What if I could do a tutor and just brush up and get some,
learn
calculus and stuff? I'm sure you can do that.
They're on here. Help with calculus online from India, right here. Here's a website.
You found it right away?
Click right on it. We'll get you on it.
Find out how much that would be. And that's one-on-one, right?
$8 to $10 an hour.
$8 to $10 an hour, yep. And I could learn calculus.
Yep.
And imagine how useful calculus would be. 866-570-PEN 7366. Then I could, figure out how fast something was falling. I just want to say per second, or what is it? Per foot. When they repeat this stuff, per second, is that in calculus?
Yeah.
Okay. I like the fact that you get to say per second.
Uh-huh.
Or is that right?
Buffalo.
866-570-PEN 7366. What do you guys think about this? Is this a good idea? Should they allow? Why would they not allow it?
For $20 a day, you could put up a screen in front of a whole class of kids.
And answer all their questions. But there's a lot of people who say that going to school is important for social reasons.
That's why my son goes.
You think? Well, but your son is a special case,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is.
If his problems all stem from his interaction and social stuff,
yeah.
So he has to go. But for other kids, I don't know why it's a good idea to put kids in a room with kids all the same age. It seems that's the cruelest and most artificial situation possible. Unless you're going into the Army, you're not going to find a lot of time where you are around mostly people of the same background and the same age as you. But I don't know about homeschooling. You know, homeschooling, you always think, okay, my kid will win a spelling bee, and then we'll be done. But I don't know. But let's talk to a few people about this. There's a lot of people that have thoughts about this and probably better thoughts than we have. So let's talk to Brian. What's up, Brian?
How you doing, Dan?
Never better, boss. How are you, man?
Good. So is it for homeschooling, too, that you're talking about here?
Well, I don't know what I'm talking about, really, because it's
for anyone election. Who wants to pay for it. Anyone still wants to hire the guy.
Okay, because I'll be honest. My daughter is about ready to start school, mm-hmm. and I'm scared to send her to public school.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd so much rather do homeschool, but, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But, I've looked into various options here, and they're just, they're ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, well, this is, I'll even give you the, since we're talking about this, and since they're not kicking back anything to us, we can do this safely. It's called Tutor Vista. TutorVista. And I bet a search for Tutor Vista would tell you anything. I bet a search for Indian eTutor would tell you everything, too.
It does.
And it's that money. So maybe, I mean, why are you afraid to send her to school? Are you? Is it a bad neighborhood actually physically afraid, or just that she won't learn anything?
I just don't think she's going to learn what she needs to learn. I mean, these schools nowadays, they just, I mean, they focus on so many of these other things that don't have anything to do with real education, you know?
Yeah, the No Child Left Behind thing, they advance people just to get them through the system. And
right. It's just these big bundled packages of, you know, things that one group of five people sat down and decided was good for everybody.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, and, you know, they're doing everything by committee, and that's
right.
The part about school. We all have to agree on everything. So whenever a committee votes on anything, it ends up with beige. That's the only thing a committee can ever agree on is beige. And you don't want a beige education. You want some interesting, some excitement. But I don't know. If you sent your kid, you know, to school for the for their, you know, volleyball and kickball and hanging out, and then just spent the money, you know, $250 an hour for a little tutoring on the subject she cared about, that might be the best of both worlds. I don't know. I mean, I think that the Internet and electronic communication has got to have an impact on schools over the next 10 years. I mean, there's going to be so much more information available to your daughter at her fingertips at the computer at home than any school would ever offer her, that there has to be some thinking about this, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like you were talking about yesterday about the T-shirts and things like that.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, there's so much focus on things like that. You know, and what's the focus on the education?
Well, the thing is that
whenever
you have anything that you can't throw people out of, you can't really throw people out of school. And believe me, I tested that in my high school. You can't really throw people out. And therefore, if you can't be thrown out and you have to graduate, and the president says that no child will be left behind, once they've said that, then going through school means absolutely nothing. Anything that everyone does means nothing. So unless they can throw people out, unless they can make school mean something, you're going to be in this situation where they get worse and worse and worse and worse. And, of course, the teachers' organizations are going to be dead against Indian tutors. But I think it's a great idea. Have your kid play with other kids and then have somebody that actually knows the subjects teach them over the web. But thanks a lot, Brian. Good luck with your kid, man. Let's see what else we've got here. Let's talk to Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Ben.
What's up, man?
I'm a tutor at St. John's University on Staten Island,
uh-huh.
And also a tutor outside of the school. And I don't know like how it's working with the Indian tutors, but we have a lot of Russian math teachers.
Yeah.
And kids complain that they don't understand them, and that's 90% of the time why they don't do well in the class.
Oh, you mean these are tutors outside of school, right?
I tutor inside the school,
mm-hmm.
And people come for like every single. I just tutor math.
Uh-huh.
So people come complaining about their teachers because of accents and because of like other things.
Okay, but they're complaining about their teachers in a classroom. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because I think that the difference in the tutoring is it's kind of one-on-one, so that if you are having trouble understanding your teacher one-on-one, you'd find that out immediately and be able to correct that. I mean, once you're doing one-on-one stuff, a lot of your problems automatically go away because that teacher is thinking hard about how to get you how to get you through, you know? If you have a teacher that has a heavy accent that you don't understand and they're standing in front of a class, you can go through months without that teacher finding out that you're not understanding. Whereas if it's 2 hours on a computer in the afternoon, you know right away. You know, the first question you're asked, the teacher knows that you can't be understood if that's the case. So
yeah.
Maybe that's good. Do you like, is tutoring your full-time job?
No, actually, I'm still a student.
Uh-huh.
So I have to do that, too.
And you're just a math whiz that helps you get through, right?
I took one class in high school, and now I'm tutoring like five classes at St. John's.
Are you, do you like tutoring?
It pays the bills.
Okay, man. Thanks a lot. I was going to try to get more out of him on that, but I guess I wasn't. Let's talk to Scott. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
Never been a boss.
You really hit it when it comes down to the way the public schools are running things. It's actually government run. I mean, a lot of these public schools are being strung along on a shoestring budget, but they have the opportunity to get grants and extra money if they take on these new programs, these new inventive spelling and creative math and all this, that somehow someone is pushed through the government and the school is changing the curriculum to get as much money as they possibly can.
Well, there was a quote that I attributed to Thomas Jefferson, which was, better to be uneducated than educated by your government. I was sure Thomas Jefferson said that, and then I did a web search for better to be uneducated than educated by your government, and turns out that Penn Jillette said that. So, I had somehow said it in an interview, and then I always confuse myself with Thomas Jefferson.
Well, you look a lot like
it. I do. If I did not dye my hair, I would look exactly like Thomas Jefferson in terms of the hair.
I went to my daughter's elementary, my prospective daughter's elementary school, which we decided not to go to.
Don't you mean your daughter's prospective elementary school?
It was going to be, but okay. We decided to actually, not. There, but yeah. This would have been the public school that she would put her in private school, but this would have been the public school that she would have gone to based on our location.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a good area. I mean, it's a decent area.
Yeah.
But, the person who took us around the school was the language arts, teacher and the assistant principal.
Uh-huh.
And she showed us all the, took us around and showed us this big room full of all these new books and all this stuff. And we said, what's this? The whole series of books that were all labeled and obviously was some kind of a program. And we asked her what it was. And this was just prior to school starting. This was about a year or so ago.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm still learning it. It's something new. And then she started to go on talking to us about that they're getting all this money, this grant, and that they do everything they can to get, all these grants. And my daughter, before that was going to fourth grade, she was taught how to spell three different ways.
Uh-huh.
In the same school by the same teachers because they kept changing the spelling program because the school was getting grants.
Yeah, I know. I have relatives that went to schools that kind of had that kind of progressive hippie vibe. I mean, one of the reasons that I graduated so long ago, got out of school, 73, that it was very different. But my hometown was very near Amherst, Massachusetts, the five college area. And they would send down these teachers who had these plans and use us,
as guinea pigs, yeah.
Yeah, rural. But we were a rural, dirt, dumb, low-income school. So they would use us as guinea pigs. And the stuff they were teaching us was like, asking other kids what they thought about Shakespeare as opposed to really letting us learn anything. So I really think I can say with confidence that I learned nothing in public school at all.
Exactly.
But people think it's so important. But
you go to private school, and you know what they're teaching? They're teaching the classics. They're teaching it the way it was done years ago, and people are paying tons of money for that.
So your daughter ended up in a private school?
Yes.
Non-religious? Did you find a non-religious private school?
It's non-religious, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
But it's still they're teaching the classics.
Sure.
I mean, it's old school stuff, but pardon the pun, but the fact is that that's what works.
Yeah. So thanks a lot, man. I'm going to go to a commercial now.
Thank you
so much, Scott. We're going to take a little break now. This is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PENN. That's 7366, pennradio@gmail.com, pennradio.com. And give us a call. We're talking about e-tutors from India. That's Mike Jones playing the music there. Mike Jones, who was on the cover of, what is it, Las Vegas?
Las Vegas Weekly.
Las Vegas Weekly magazine. Mike Jones is on the cover, and I think it mentions there that he does all the music for the radio show, and he does. If you want to hear more of Mike Jones's music, go to Penn Radio, PennRadio.com. PennRadio@gmail.com is our Gmail address. 866-570-PEN. 7366 is our phone number. We're talking about the story in Reuters about Indian e-tutors. $2 an hour. Did I say $2 an hour?
$2.50.
$2.50 an hour. $2.50 an hour, and they're tutoring kids, and you get a one-on-one tutoring session. And I'm kind of going, what the
it's
hell
$100 a month. I think $2.50 an hour is a little misleading. It's $100 a month, unlimited time.
Right. So what's they're doing, what they're doing is, let's see how good our math is. They're saying 4 weeks, 5 days a week. That's 20 days. 20 divided by 100 is
times
five,
time,
2 hours a day. So $2.50 an hour. That's what they're saying.
That's
so if you do 20 days a week, 2 hours a day, it's $2.50 an hour, but it's actually $100 a
month. Could be less than that.
If you do more.
Every day, all day.
Sure, sure. Every day, all day, which you're allowed to do, supposedly. We got a letter here that's really the other kind of point of view. He says, how nice that you guys make money juggling. If outsourcing continues, how will Americans make enough money to pay for tickets to your show? Public schools are not expensive. In fact, they are very underfunded. If they were properly funded, the quality of education would be so high, no one would ever think to complain about the expense. And by the way, the Indian tutor deserves a lot more than $10 an hour. Okay. They cut throats, underbid, the way they do, because it's the only way for them to make any money. It's not about the accent. It's about upward mobility for the working class, which should be available through more channels than juggling or espousing libertarian philosophy on the radio. well put. No Child Left Behind had its funding gutted. It's not supposed to be a social promotion program. That's the word I was looking for, social promotion.
It is.
That's just the only option states have left, saddled with unfunded mandate as they are. Outsourcing is economic terrorism, from your fan, Kevin C. That's another point of view, very, very well put. I actually think that public schools are rather expensive. And I don't have the figures at my fingertips, but it's the whole idea that we're being set up. You know, they tried doing smaller classes, and I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's money that enters into this. I just don't know if that's the way to learn. Now, what you're talking about is somebody that went to school, and I hated every second I spent in school. So everything I say about school, you have to take with a grain of salt. My wife, she loved every moment of school. She also dropped out before graduation.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I just left early.
Yeah, yeah. You liked it too, right?
I did.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Trade party, I'm out of here.
And this is someone who writes, and I deleted accidentally one of the things you sent me.
Okay.
Between the last one I read and this one, I deleted it. But I can go back and find it, but I'll need a break. Hi, guys. Some of the most important lessons you ever learned in school weren't in the books. Social interactions, learning how to wait your turn, learning how to play fair, learning how to make friends, and on and on. Public, private, whatever, but kids need to learn how to get along with other kids, especially kids who aren't exactly alike. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, etc. Single parent, gay parent, etc. Yet another 2 cents worth, and earlier this time from DCES.
David writes us a lot.
Yeah. But anyway, social interactions. I learned that kids hated me, would spit on me, and beat me up. Learning how to wait my turn, I learned they would all butt in front of me and I would never get there. Learning how to play fair, never saw an example of that any time in my schooling. Learning how to make friends, I didn't really until I got out. Actually, there were a few friends that I had during high school that I still have now, so I shouldn't lie about that.
Well,
so those are all good points. Let's talk to Matt there. Hello, Matt. This is Penn espousing my libertarian point of view for money. How are you doing?
Great, Ben. How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Outstanding. I just wanted to say, a couple of your callers had said earlier that their children are going to private schools because of the fact that they're teaching the classical way of education.
Uh-huh.
There's never really been a golden age of education. If you look back historically, our literacy rates are higher than they've ever been before. Now, for your children to get a full compulsory education in today's society, you're going to have to supplement that from the home, either through tutoring or working with your child at home from your own knowledge. But any of your children that go to the higher level education, your Yale, Stanford, things of that nature, have always gone above and beyond what they've gotten in a private or a public education.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your job?
I am a former educator, and I'm currently an educational consultant.
Uh-huh. So you know a lot about this. What do you think about the social activity in school?
Social activity is important for kids, although you're right when you said earlier that it's very unnatural for kids to be all at the same grade level and the same age at the same time. The real world doesn't work that way.
Yeah, well, I always thought that it was better. You know, when I was in high school, I had friends that were adults that I did reading groups with and stuff, and that seemed to me to be so much more pleasant than being in that exact, you know, that 1 year age range where everybody's going through the same problems at the same time. I like having friends in my life with different problems. And when you're all the same age, and that age is 15, you all have the precise same problem. What do you think about the outsourcing of the tutoring? I mean, the guy wrote a very, very clear letter on how essentially, you know, the Henry Ford argument that if we don't pay teachers here, then no one will be able to buy our juggling show. But how do you feel about it being done by people in other countries?
It doesn't bother me one bit. It's a larger larger picture of a global economy. You've got the same argument for almost every single industry we have here in the United States as far as things being outsourced to India. This is just one more facet, larger problem. Mm-hmm. And is it a problem? I don't necessarily know. It's part of a larger global economy, and it's really supply and demand. They're offering this product, quality product, at a lower price, so therefore it's going to be more enticing for people to purchase that.
Mm-hmm. And as he calls it cutthroat, because some money is better than no money, but that is the way I believe people pull themselves up, is by taking jobs lower than the price other people will take them, and then working their way up as the quality gets better. But that is, again, if he wants to just say espousing libertarian nonsense for money, that's what I'm doing. That's the straight libertarian line. But since you're an educator, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you hit the nail pretty much on the head right there with that one. I completely agree with your standpoint.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care.
I don't want to underplay that guy's letter, because it's very important to think about that. I mean, I do have friends that very strongly believe that you've got to buy all American stuff so the economy stays there. And my feeling is always, if we get something cheaper overseas, we are the ones benefiting from that.
Oh, it also frees up a lot of our time, frees up a lot of our money, frees up a lot of our work.
Sure. I think that's true. But let's talk to Patrick. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, this is Patrick from Chicago. And the other day, well, it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, on the cover of the Wall Street Journal, there was an article about a college dropout who was e-tutoring people in various Halo and various video games like Halo 2 and Super Mario Brothers Smash. The kid's got 20 employees now, and they charge between $20 and $45 an hour to learn you how to frag online.
Really?
It was on the cover of the Wall Street Journal.
Fabulous. That's fabulous. And what was their take on it? I'm going to look this article up online. What was their take on it? This was a cool thing, or they just
said... You know, my wife's an attorney. She spends more time playing PlayStation than I do, and I'm a dog walker. And, you know, it's honest to God truth. And, you know, I mean, this guy says that he's got professionals. He has all these professionals who want to play, but don't have the time to put in learning how to get through those levels.
That's really amazing. I mean, well, there are people that teach golf. You know, there are people who teach tennis. Why shouldn't there be video game tutors?
Yeah, and it's the same thing. He does a VOIP thing with it.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great. I'm going to look into that. We should have had that.
We should have had that to start.
Yeah, Godot's looking for it. We'll find more about that. Thanks an awful lot, man.
All right.
Thanks
so much, Patrick. Thank you, man.
Thanks, man. Boy, his wife's a lawyer and he's a dog walker? Is that a really good relationship or a bad one? I should have kept him on and talked more about that. Let's talk to Colin. How you doing, Colin?
Good. How's it going?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Not so much. I'm a student getting my master's in education right now. I just wanted to call to provide a little bit of a counterpoint to what you guys were talking
about.
Sure,
please do. Please do.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to make the point that, especially in the New York area, the standards for education are higher than they've ever been. The requirements for you to become certified in a teacher are so incredibly high right now that people in New York State who get certified can teach anywhere around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just afraid that, you know, outsourcing education like that to, you know, India or somewhere like that, you don't know where they're getting certified, and you're not exactly sure, you know, about the education that you're getting. And also, you're right, I mean, it does kind of take, you know, the job of educating America's youth out of our hands and putting it into others.
Right. Well, you're mixing up two things. You're mixing up the Penn Jillette nut point of view, which you never want to confuse with reality, and the actual reality, what the story talks about. And this is not my rambling craziness on top of that, but the story talks about kids who are going to school and are using the tutoring after school for a couple hours a day to increase their ability in the classes they're going to. So you have in their system, you have a wonderful checks and balances built in because they're still going to school. And if they're going to school in New York State where the teachers are very certified and really know their stuff and are doing a wonderful job, then a student getting help after school from someone who knows that, I don't think anybody could argue against, really. My point of view was maybe if we had this outsourcing, we didn't need schools, and that's the nut point of view. So I'll make it very clear that you're arguing with me and not with the Indian e-tutors, which seem to have a little better idea than I had. I just want to make that clear to you. But thanks for your point of view there, Colin. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, I'm always afraid that someone's going to listen to me and think that my point of view is actually someone else's. You know,
it seems so unlikely.
So unlikely that it would overlap with anybody.
It could happen.
We'll be back after this. This is Penn Jillette with the nut point of view. 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com. We are going to be back. Seems so likely. But we're going to just get a little advice from our Indian tutor in between. Acceleration, meters per second. But I've never had a conversation where I knew what I was talking about, where I said per second. I know that it's the amount faster you go per second.
If you jumped off the Empire State Building,
I still wouldn't have a conversation about going meters per second.
Meters per ow!
866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We're talking about these Indian e-tutors. And which is just a great Indian e-tutors is a great thing to say. Go ahead, say it.
Indian e-tutors. I wonder if that's their website. We should check it. If not, we need to buy it right now.
Right now. Right now, you're going to buy Indian e-tutors.
Indian e-tutors.
And let's start some more people here. Oh, the email you sent me that I deleted accidentally is from Darren, who says, if I send my kid to Bangladesh with $500 in a bag of antibiotics, can they actually board with the tutor for 10 years? So there's another point of view, outsourcing boarding school. Let's talk to Frank. What's up, Frank?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Never better, boss. How are you?
I got no complaints. Listen, good. I got three beautiful children, two of them in elementary school, one 18 months. I have no problem with elementary school. I got no problem with public schools.
Uh-huh.
I do have a problem with outsourcing our education outside this country.
Okay, talk to me about it.
How dumb are we that we cannot teach our own children?
Well, you know, I think that the argument would be there that there are certain kinds of just one-on-one algebra and so on that can be done by somebody with a... I mean, I think it's actually a very pro-American point of view. The people that we have that have masters are doing better enough that they don't have to work for a low-price tutoring, and these people want the money and can use it. I don't see what's actually wrong. It's not saying we can't educate our children any more than by buying a toaster that was made overseas.
I got a problem with that, too, but
okay.
That's a different story. let's look at this. I mean, we're talking about... Yeah, you know, we're educating our children.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it ourselves at a price we can afford. Well, that's with the same theory of hiring illegal aliens mm-hmm. to do our jobs because, oh, well, it's not that we don't want the jobs. We just don't want the jobs that what the governments, the people are willing to pay us.
Well, you know, the difference there, and that's, of course, another whole issue, and I might differ with you on that as well. But the difference is if you're outsourcing over a computer, then you're not bringing people into the country that may use medical care and may use school systems and other resources that we have. If they're over the computer, they are still in their country for all of that. So part of your arguments about illegal aliens go away. But what you're saying is just we should pay whatever it costs to have an American do the tutoring. Is that your point?
Well, it shouldn't scare us to pay our own people to teach our children.
Uh-huh.
And it's not an astronomical difference in price from what you were saying.
Well, it kind of is.
$40 an hour versus $250 an hour is what the article's talking about.
Yeah, it is a very, very big difference.
That is a steep difference.
I mean, there are people that
time.
Can afford. There are people that can afford $100 a month that might not be able to afford. Well, what would it be? 2 hours a day would be $80 a day.
I got that part.
times five. Is 400.
They go with that new math again.
That's $1,600 a month as opposed to $100 a month, which I think $1,500 a month is a very reasonable amount of money. That's an amount of money that makes a big difference in lifestyle. I mean, to me.
Right.
You know, maybe not to people in higher income brackets, but to me it does. And so you're talking about if you had a choice between having your kids who needed tutoring tutored by someone in India for $250 an hour or someone in the U.S. for $40 an hour, you think you should just work that hard and get the American because buy American to buy American jobs? Is that your point?
Yeah, buy American, keep Americans working.
Sure, okay. So your point of view is getting it cheaper is not a bargain to the country as a whole, only to the individual. Is that a way
right.
to put what you're saying?
It helps that person that – It helps that person who's buying the $250 an hour employee. It helps them their economy. They can afford more now. But the country's economy is already going to the crapper. Why are we going to make it worse?
Okay. Well, that's the point of view, and I think you stated it very clearly. I believe I think a little differently on that. But as long as you feel you stated your case clearly, I'm going to say thanks.
Have a nice day.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's the point of view you want, you know. And I have very good friends, you know, who talk a lot about how they want everything to be bought American and keep that economy strong. And I know you don't tend to share that.
I don't tend to share that. Although I think what you do by doing that is enforce our values around the world. I think if you say I'm taking my ball and going home, you change everyone's perspective on how to deal with the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't buy a toaster because you live in hell somewhere, then you need to come to the U.S. And if we won't sell you a toaster because we don't like your attitude,
yeah.
It's pretty funny. I think you've changed the world's policies without a gun.
Yeah. And is that good?
I think that's good.
Yeah. Okay. And let's see. Let's go with Paul. I think I want to talk to Paul. How are you doing, Paul?
Pretty well. I'm doing pretty well.
Talk to us, Paul.
I used to be a homeschooler. I went to public school for, I don't know, I actually have been to a couple different schools. I went to Catholic school when I was really young. Uh-huh. Not a Catholic anymore. And then to public school. And then during high school, before college, I got kicked out of a school and ended up just being a homeschooler for, 3 or 4 years. And I have to say, homeschooling was pretty much the greatest experience of my life, and in none of the situations did I learn any less than I wanted to or any more. It was just no matter what situation I was in, as long as there were books around, it was up to me. And I think you can't just say we need to have public schools or like you have to have a certain teacher. I think people will just they'll learn based on how much they want.
Now, when you were homeschooled, was it your mom and dad who were taking you through everything?
No. By the time I was homeschooling, my mom worked during the day, and my parents were separated, so I was kind of rather divorced, not separated. But so I was kind of just on my own, and yeah, I think actually that left me with a lot more. I ended up having a lot more adult friends who I could ask for help from, and it was all self-directed. And actually, I took that that same self-directed learning attitude. And one day, when I was bored at work before I started college, I think I was maybe 18. I started college when I was young, and then I took some time off to work. But I got bored, and I learned Latin, mm-hmm. and I'm actually going to get an extra degree here at UMass. In Latin, just because I learned it when I was bored.
So you're a student now?
Yeah, yeah.
And college. Now, when you how did you what state were you in? Were you in Mass?
Yeah, Massachusetts.
Well, Massachusetts has that particular Commonwealth has really really stringent laws on homeschooling, don't they? How did you get around that being completely self-directed?
Well, I was a bit of a different situation because I was what happened was I went off to boarding school in New York,
uh-huh.
and I got kicked out of it after like 3 weeks, and I just never told the government that I was that I wasn't there.
Okay. So you were homeschooled, but not
homeschooled in the school of really smart.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call them and tell them I'm doing something illegal.
But the you were not homeschooled on the book. If Massachusetts were to open up their books for the number of students that were homeschooled, you would not be represented in those figures. Is that right?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, you were never given the okay for homeschooled. And did you feel like when you were not going to school in high school that you were missing, I don't know, dating, sports, hanging out, band, stuff like that? Or did you have friends your own age, too?
I have plenty of friends. I'm actually, a lot of my friends who, in college now, are less socially well-adjusted than I am because I just sat around and discussed philosophy with intelligent people, and they were kind of forced into this situation where they were just with a bunch of people they didn't like. And, you know, you're not allowed to talk in school. How are you supposed to socialize?
Uh-huh.
You're not really put in a great social situation, whereas if you have all day to sit around and think and talk, and you just seek out people who are interested in the same stuff as you.
Yeah, well, that's always the way I've seen it, ideally. And then every time I bring that up to somebody, they always tell me that people that are homeschooled end up really crazy. I have a friend who homeschooling his identical twin daughters. They homeschooled them up until they were, I guess, about ninth grade, wasn't it? Slick's
high
kids,
school. Going into ninth grade,
and then they went to public school there because they missed being around other kids and wanted the social stuff after they've been homeschooled for the whole early part. So you're kind of the flip of that started out that way and went the other way. And I guess if you're going to talk about getting out of school illegally and studying on your own, I guess I'm in the category that you were in because I stopped going to school probably about junior year, maybe a little mm-hmm. bit before that, and just spent a lot of time up, strangely, at UMass, where I would sit in on classes and where I would read on my own and talk to people. So I was very happy with that situation. I wanted to get away from the kids who were forced to be at school with me. So thanks a lot, Paul. Thanks a lot. I guess it's another way to label it. You know, I guess I could say, instead of saying I didn't do well in school, I could say I was homeschooled, just not in the books. Let's talk to Frank. What's up, Frank?
Penn, how are you?
Never better, boss. What's up?
I agree with just about everything you said. I just want to add to that I went back to school. I dropped out of high school even, mm-hmm. and I went back to school at 40 and then received a BA and an MA, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm a teacher for 10 years. And I just have to chime in here. These people are high. Most of these people that are talking to you are high. Typical Americans, they want the world to be the way they want it to be, not the way it is. You and I know about how one can fudge statistics.
Uh-huh.
Guy who said about the literacy rate is higher than ever. One of my many jobs, I taught from kindergarten to senior in high school. One of my stints, I had to grade those, you know, those important regents and whatever you call it, papers.
Sure.
Because now I'm a kindergarten teacher, so I forgot about all that crap.
Sure.
Anyway.
You're what teacher now? I didn't hear.
Now I'm teaching kindergarten.
Oh, kindergarten. Okay, so you don't have to worry about the regents.
At the time, I was teaching senior English, okay?
Huh?
And the illiteracy rate was so high that they had to invent a whole new way of grading the tests called organic. Have you heard that one?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's like, you know, it's just a complete flam. In other words, if you read it and you could get some kind of an idea what the student was trying to say, it's correct.
Wow. And just out of curiosity, between the time you dropped out of school and the time you were 40 and went back, what did you do in between?
I was a hair designer.
Oh, cool. And then you went back to school and did all that. And, boy, you know, this is the – and you're teaching kindergarten. I've only got, like, 10 seconds. But tell me, what should I look for in a kindergarten teacher for my daughter?
It's about socialization. You want him to teach socialization. You know, the rest of it, leave them alone. They'll get ABCs and 1, 2, 3. You know, it's about teaching them the golden rule. That's
okay.
What it is.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much, Frank.
Listening. I agree with you. You're doing a great job. I've been a fan of yours forever. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you. You know, I like a tough guy as a kindergarten
sure.
teacher. I like that a lot. This is Penn Jillette. Tomorrow, we've got Louis Black. Louis
yeah,
Black.
Louis
I didn't even
Black.
Mention Louis Black. Louis Black.
Tomorrow.
Louis Black. Tomorrow, Louis Black. Louis Black. Louis Black. Louis Black.
check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.